Amen. I'm going to invite you to stay seated right where you are, but open up your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. So today, we want to bring the second part of the teaching that we started last week. It'll be the second and last part. And we want to talk about a spiritual renewal, right? We're talking about the need for a spiritual renewal. And we're using the vision that God speaks to the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 14. We're using this verses, this teaching in scripture to remind us how we could have that spiritual renewal. How we could have that spiritual renewal. In this sermon, you're going to notice that my introduction is similar to last week's introduction. I'm probably going to move through it just a little bit faster. But some of you have heard it already, but I want to go through it again because it lays the platform for maybe somebody who was not here last week and introduces the sermon from that point. And it also is a reminder to us who were here last week of the platform. So Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 14. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out of the spirit, and he brought me out by the spirit of the Lord. That's very important, verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Now the prophet answers, Ezekiel says, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, God speaking to the prophet, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I was prophesying, and there was a noisy, rattling sound, and bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe, come from the four winds, and breathe into the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then my people will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for the teaching of your word. Father, I pray that today, Lord, our hearts would be open to sense, our ears open to hear, Lord, what you want to do within us, O Lord. I pray, O Lord God, that we would be encouraged always for a spiritual renewal, Lord. That whatever is dry in our lives would receive life. Whatever is discouraged, Lord God, would be encouraged, O Lord. Whatever is dead would be revived, O God. I pray that, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. The need for spiritual renewal. So just some context once again, and again, I said some of this last week, but to know where we are contextually, right? So here in Ezekiel chapter 37, Judah, the southern kingdom, has been now under captivity by the Babylonian Empire, and they have been exiled into different parts of the Babylonian Empire. And as we read the Old Testament, we see that they came and they did it in three exiles, right? In the first one, we believe that Daniel went out in the first one, and two more followed along. And the Babylonian Empire had this way of doing it because their goal was to completely annihilate the people, the city, that they would lose over the time their culture, their traditions, their language, and they would fall under the Babylonian Empire, and it would strengthen the Babylonian Empire for years to come, because if people gathered with their loved ones, with their fellow people, they would strengthen and they can come up against the empire. So for that reason, the empire would come in and would destroy the city, the walls, their worship, their temples, their history, their belongings, and scatter the people throughout all the regions so that they could never come again. Now, when you look at the history of the Old Testament, you know, we can see that God's divine will and God's way when he speaks to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and talks about the descendants of their land, and that the descendants of the land would be forever, right? And here we see that the Babylonian Empire disperses the Israelites, the people of God, throughout these different lands. And God, in his sovereignty, allowed it. And the prophet Jeremiah said that this would only be for 70 years. And if you read Ezra and Nehemiah, you read of their return after 70 years, and they're reestablished, and they build their walls once again, and they build their temple once again after 70 years. And it no longer has the splendor of Solomon's temple, and it no longer had the Shekinah glory of God that descended over it, but the people had gathered once again. I love that in the prophet it said, that there would be a future glory that could be compared to no other glory in the history of that temple. And it was because one day Jesus would walk into that temple. So a little bit of history and context with regard to why is God calling Ezekiel, showing him a vision of a valley of dry bones, telling him that this is the house of God. So the house of God is in this condition, and he depicts it as a valley of dry bones. It's a sad time in the Old Testament. If you read the story of when the Babylonian Empire comes in and the city walls destroyed, it's solemn. It's solemn. It's sad. And you think, oh my God, the people of God have gone through this. The prophet stands away and he watches and he waits, Habakkuk. And it's just a time of sadness. It's a time where God's people no longer had the victories that they had in the time of Joshua, right? Where Joshua would lead the Israelites, the house of God, the same people. And they would walk around Jericho and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Or when God gave them the victory and the sun did not set, and they had victory over their enemies. Or how about in the time of King Hezekiah, where the Syrian Empire comes against Judah and Jerusalem. Now the Syrian Empire had already destroyed the northern kingdom, Samaria. The 10 tribes of the north had annihilated them, and now they come up against Judah and Jerusalem. But God speaks to Hezekiah through the prophet and tells him, not one arrow will touch you. And that night, an angel of death comes and kills the Syrian army. It's not like those times anymore. Now, the people of God have been exiled. And God shows Ezekiel their condition through a valley of dry bones. It's depicted as lifeless, depicted as people with no future, as people who have no God, as people who have no blessing over them. In fact, I love verse 11, because verse 11 says that the bones are speaking, that the house of God is speaking in their condition. And they say, son of man, these bones are the whole house of God. They say the bones are speaking. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We have been cut off. That's their condition. We have been cut off. They recognize their state. They recognize that their state is a state without the blessing of God. See, the valley of dry bones represents spiritual death. It represents that that they had fallen to religious routines, because they still did their feast and their celebration and their things. But though they were doing those things, it was just empty. It had not come from their heart. It was a sign of the removal of God's blessing, the displeasure of God with the people. It was also God's word in action, because God said that it would happen. It was a sign of spiritual death, a need for spiritual renewal, a need for spiritual removal. You know, this happens to many of us as well. Many of us go through seasons in our life where we need a spiritual renewal. We need a spiritual renewal. We need God to do something new in our life, to bring life to something that is dead, to bring life to a valley of dry bones. We all go through it. Even in scripture, I shared with you last week, Timothy went through it. Paul has to write to him and tell him, fan into flame the gift of God that is within you. Timothy may have been dealing with pressures of the pastoral ministry. He may have been dealing with pressures because he was a young man, and Paul tells him, flee from your youthful desires. Maybe he was suffering because his spiritual mentor was incarcerated. He was dealing with false teachings. He was dealing with persecution, whatever the reason, but he needed his spiritual father to say, come on, get it together. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. And there's others in scripture also that have gone through it. And I shared with you last week, even I've had seasons of my life where I'm like, Lord, I need some life in me again. I've had seasons in my life where I said, Lord, I feel like I'm carrying a lot of weight and I need some renewal. And isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord meets us there? He doesn't say, well, you need to live a 10 all the time. He understands that sometimes we're at 3 and 4. And he's helping us through. You know, that may happen to some of us. And some may ask, well, how do I know when I'm in a valley of dry bones? How do I know when I'm there, right? Well, perhaps your lack or no desire to study scripture, pray, seek God, could be a sign to us. Oh, man, I'm at a 3 or 4. Perhaps our spiritual conversations in public places embarrass us. Or maybe we're the type of people in that condition that we rationalize sin. I don't feel bad. He did it. She did it. Right? Or perhaps, you know, when we quote scripture or sing songs or come to church, nothing's really happening. When no longer the misery of the loss bothers you, that's a bad sign. When the misery of people don't bother you, or the need of salvation in those that are lost doesn't bother you, it could be a sign that we are flirting with a valley of dry bones. When worship and service to God does not excite you, it could mean that we are in a valley of dry bones. So the need for a spiritual renewal reaches us all at some time in our lives. And I love, you know, the question that God tells the prophet, do you believe these bones can live again? I love it. I love it. I love that God looks at the prophet and says, do you believe that these bones can live again? Do you believe that this is not their end state? Could you believe that this is not where I want to see their condition? And God even asks us at times, do you believe that you can come out of this and into a spiritual renewal? So I have 3 points for you. The first one we shared last week. How do we come out of a spiritual renewal? How do we come out of it? The first one was to hear God's voice, hear God's word. What is God's word saying to you? I love that the prophet said, you know, God tells Ezekiel to prophesy over these bones. And he says to them, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. To come into a spiritual renewal, to enjoy what God has for us, we must hear the word of the Lord. Now, I can't spend a lot of time on this because I preached the whole sermon last week. I encourage you to go back if you didn't hear it. But you must hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord that speaks to you. God's word is infallible. It's timeless. It's infallible. It'll never fail you. It's timeless. It works in all times. It's intentional. It goes to the very need of our lives. It's complete. It sustains us. I shared with you last week the author of Hebrews, the word of God, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul, spirits, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I love that God's word reaches every need of our lives. And then I share with you 7 points, 7 words, 7 prophetic words over your life. 7, thus says the Lord, right? Thus says the Lord. And then I encourage you to find your need and find where scripture speaks of thus says the Lord to you, and receive it as a thus says the Lord. It's powerful when God speaks. It brings life when God speaks. So I encourage you today as well, what is God's word speaking into your life this morning? It's a thus says the Lord for you. Find it in scripture and believe God for it. It is the pneuma of God, it is the wind of God, the logos of God, the word of God for us. And we embrace it and receive it because it is what brings life. If we want spiritual renewal, we must embrace and hear God's word. And the church says, so that was our introduction. And we'll go into today's official sermon, right? Point two, remember God's spirit. Remember God's spirit for spiritual renewal. Remember God's spirit. I love verse 9 and 10. It says, then he said to me, the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army, the four corners. And verse 14 says, and I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. You see, God's spirit brings life to us. The word breath in this verse, it's the same word in the Hebrew language that is found in verse 1. That's why I said, pay attention to this verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. That word breath and Spirit of the Lord is the exact same word. It has to do with God's presence. The Spirit of the Lord brought me out. And then it said, and the prophet said, brings that my breath would enter them. It's the same word. It means the presence of God. It is used for the presence of God. In fact, it's the same word that the psalmist used in Psalm 139, verse 7, where he said, where should I go from your spirit? It's the same word there, breath, spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. It's the same word, Hebrew word, that is reminding us that it's God's presence that is being blown into this valley of dry bones and bringing life. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the same word is used again where it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, same word there, the breath, the pneuma, the presence of God, was hovering over the valley. In fact, also David used this word in Psalm 51 in his Psalm of Repentance when he says, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. The word here, spirit, is talking about God's very presence. And the church says, God's very presence. It is very clear, if we want out of the valley of dry bones, we must seek God's presence. We must remember God's presence. It's God's presence in us that brings life. In fact, Jesus said these words in John 6. He says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. The Spirit gives life. God's presence gives life. Paul writes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where God's Spirit, where God's presence dwells, he's saying there's no captivity. There's no valley of dry bones where God's Spirit exists. And today I want to remind you that God's Spirit is for all people, for all Christians, for all those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, having believed, you were marked in Him with a sealed, the promised Holy Spirit. That means from the moment that we give our hearts to Jesus. That means if someone today says, I'm going to receive Christ as my personal Savior, the Bible says, and we believe it by faith, that at that very moment, you are marked with the presence of God. Marked. There's ownership over your life, and God's presence begins to reside within you. How awesome is that? That the triune God lives in you and lives in me. How awesome is that to know that every day of our lives, we don't do this alone, but God's presence is with us. This is for all believers.
In fact, on the day of
Pentecost, Peter gets up to preach, and he uses the words of Joel in his first Pentecostal sermon. And he reminds us that on that day, God's presence fell on all his people. And he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days.
He's reminding us that his presence, his breath, his pneuma is for all of us.
It's for all of us. That day, the Spirit on the church gave the church direction, gave the church life, gave the church mission. We knew because God had been with us from that moment on, and it would empower the church. In fact, God's presence upon the people of God is the distinctive between the church and all of the world. What makes the church different than the rest of the world is that God's presence dwells with us. His resurrected presence dwells with us. It's what makes us different from the whole world. And Moses knew this well. In fact, in the Old Testament, God told Moses, hey, you know what? Move on without me. I'll send an angel with you. And Moses tells God, if you don't go with me, we're not moving from this place. And then I love what he says. How will the world know that you are with us, that your favor is with us, if your presence doesn't go with us? I want to encourage you today that the valley of dry bones at times wants to be our place of residing. And we need spiritual renewal. It comes as we receive the presence of the Lord. And we allow the presence of the Lord to take reign within our lives. It has to take reign within us. We have to be filled with God's Spirit. Yes, we are marked with God's presence from the moment we give our hearts to the Lord. But there is an inner battle within each and every one of us, of flesh and spirit, of our will and God's will. And for us to allow God's will to flow through us, we must be filled with the Spirit of God. And when we are not filled with the Spirit of God and we let our flesh and our sinful nature reign, we'll find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. But when we have understood who we have with us, how he has marked us, and we allow him to fill our lives, it changes how we live. I love that the Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The apostle is reminding us there are things in this world that want to take our attention. He uses wine here and drunkenness, but the word debauchery here is very important. It means wickedness. It means depravity. It means corruption. And he's saying, don't be filled with things that have to do with depravity, with corruption, with wickedness. He's saying be filled with the Spirit of God. It's a command towards us. And when he says be filled with the Spirit of God, that is in Greek present tense. In other words, it is for this very moment. Be filled with the presence of God. It is for this moment. It is for this second. Tomorrow is for this second. Every day of our lives, we are called and challenged to be filled with the Spirit of God. To be careful that we don't surrender ourselves to things that lead to debauchery, wickedness and corruption and depravity. No, the church of God understands its place, and we are called to be what? Filled with the Spirit of God. What an invitation on behalf of God for the church to be filled with his presence. To be marked, but not just marked, but to live under his dominion, his authority, that his will rules our lives every single day. And I grew up in the Spanish Pentecostal church, and we were taught, if you want to be filled with the presence of God, go lock yourself in the room and pray until it comes down. Now, that's still good advice for us. That's still good advice for us. But what must accompany that prayer? Surrenderance.
Surrenderance must accompany that prayer. Because what good is it for me to preach 1,000 sermons and not treat you right? What good is it for me to pray 100 hours in a month, but yet not be kind to my neighbor? Not be obedient to what God wants to do? What, when we do those things, we're just being ritualistic. We're just counting beads. We're just doing what we're supposed to do. But when we ask the Lord to fill us, we're also saying, God, less of me and more of you. Less of me, God. I want to be filled with your spirit, Lord. Less of me, Lord, and more of you. Less of my will and more of your will. Less of my wisdom and more of your wisdom, oh God. Less of my way of rationalizing things and more of submission to you, oh Lord. When we ask the Lord, Lord, fill us with your presence, we're saying, God, I surrender my will, less of me. I empty myself before you, and I ask you to reign and be the dominating power within me. And that's how we are filled with the presence of the Lord. And that's when we're available for the gifts of the Spirit to flow through us. Sensitive to what the Lord wants to say and speak and use us. Sensitive to what he's doing in our lives and through us. Why? Because we have died to ourselves. And we have allowed the Spirit of God to reign and have dominance within us. And the church says, the Apostle Paul affirms this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 when he says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Reminding us there is a battle within us. And if we want to be led by God's law, we want to be filled with God's Spirit, he must reign. Less of us and more of him. And the church says, in fact, this is what Jesus said when he looks at his disciples and says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Less of him, less of us, less of the disciple, and more of Jesus. And more of Jesus. And this takes us to a place of spiritual renewal. Chances are that we may find ourselves in a valley of dry bones because of laziness, because of lack of obedience, because of lack of submission to God's will, because of egoism within us. And the I takes place, and he's the decision maker. And our sinful nature will only take us to a valley of dry bones. But when the Spirit of God reigns within us, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, filled, less of us, more of him, then he could use us for his glory. Then we're sensitive to his will, and the gifts of the Spirit flow through us for the edification of the church. And that is what being filled with God's Spirit is. And the church says, amen. So if we want spiritual renewal, we need to hear God's word for us. What's the prophetic word? We spoke about that last week. Today, be filled. Be filled. Receive. Remember. Remember God's presence. Remember it. Less of us, more of him. Number three, embrace God's mercy. Embrace his mercy. Embrace his mercy. If you want to come out of this valley of dry bones and you want spiritual renewal, no one deserves it. It's God's mercy that allows us this opportunity. Right? I love that it says in verse 12 through 14, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open your graves and give you and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to this land of Israel. Remember the context of where we are. God says, I will bring you back. And we know through Jeremiah 70 years later. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open the graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land, and you will know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. I love this word because God is telling them, I'm going to bring you back, although you don't deserve it. I'm going to bring you back to this land, although you don't deserve it. It has to do with my mercy. It has to do with my grace. It has to do with my love for you, my desire for you to be in the land that I have set aside for you. And God brings spiritual renewal to us, not because we deserve it, but because it's the land that he has set aside for us. It is the place that he wants us. I'd like to read to you the verses of Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9. So Daniel chapter 9, 70 years later, Daniel says a prayer to the Lord, remembering the words of Jeremiah that 70 years later, he's going to bring the people back. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 7, he says, talking to Daniel's prayer to God, talking about the people, the house of God, the Israelites, he says, they are covered in shame. Because they're under the Babylonian Empire. They're covered in shame. Verse 11, he says, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. So Daniel is praying to God and he tells God this. He said, they were refusing to obey you. Verse 14, they say, yet we have not obeyed him. He says, we're still not obeying him. But look at verse 18. In Daniel chapter 9, he says this, give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make this request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. I love that. I love that Daniel approaches God and says, hey, we are not deserving of this. We're still doing bad things and making bad choices, and we're still doing the very things that put us in this condition. But my appeal to you is not based on our righteousness. Our appeal to you is based on your great mercy. And if we want spiritual renewal, we can never approach God saying, I'm going to do this better, and I'm going to go here better. And I'm going to, no. Our approach to God needs to be simply this. I've made bad choices. I find myself in a valley of dry bones. And I know that I need you. And I appeal to you because of your great mercy. Will you revive what is dead? Will you renew us, O Lord? So perhaps there's someone here today that is saying, man, I don't deserve a relationship with God. I don't deserve a spiritual renewal. I don't deserve it. And God is saying that my mercy and my grace is sufficient for you this morning. Perhaps you feel like I'm so far from God. The valley that I live in, these bones are so dried up that no one can bring life to them. Perhaps you feel that you've done so much wrong or shame or hurt, or maybe you've been far so long and you just can't light the fire again. I love what the scripture says in Romans 5:20, where sin increased, grace increased even more. Where sin increased, where laziness exists, where shame has taken its place, grace increases even more. So I love the author of Hebrews that says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How many say amen? Our time of need. There is the opportune moment. I love that it says with confidence we can draw near to the throne of grace. Grace is to receive something that we don't deserve. With confidence, we could approach the throne of grace to receive the very thing we don't deserve. As I finish our teaching this morning, I just want to encourage you. God calls us to spiritual renewal, spiritual renewal. God calls us to live a life that just reflects who he is. No one is perfect. We all have highs and we all have lows. But if we find ourselves in a low, let us not stay there. Let us what? Hear God's word for us. What is it that God wants to speak to your life? What is it? Receive it as a thus says the Lord, a thus says the Lord. There's nothing more powerful than thus says the Lord. Así dice el Señor. Nothing more powerful. It speaks to our lives and brings life to us. Remember his spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not captivity, but freedom. Be filled with God's presence. Be careful not to fill ourselves with things that lead us to debauchery, wickedness, corruption, depravity. That could be a sermon in itself, right? Things that want to steal us, steal the joy of the Lord, the Spirit of God within us, right? Be careful. Know what? Be filled with God's Spirit in its present tense. It's for every moment of our lives. How are we filled? Less of us, more of Him, more of Him. Do we deserve it? No. But His mercy and His grace invites us. It's an invitation. If anyone hears my voice, if anyone lets me in, those who are weary and tired, He's always inviting people to feast with Him, to share with Him, to break bread with Him, to sit at the table with Him. It's a constant invitation, regardless of where we may find ourselves, so that we can have a spiritual renewal, an encouragement, a revival. I want you to know that as I teach this, it encourages me and reminds me, Carlos, you can stay at a place that works and helps and keeps us focused. So I'm thankful to the Lord, because He doesn't say, figure it all out. He says, I'm going to do this with you. And the church says, I'm going to invite you to stand as we bring closure today. Spiritual renewal. Maybe there's someone here today who says, the Lord is speaking to me and I'm tired of this valley of dry bones. I'm tired of struggling here. And I know it's because it's been more of me, more of my will, my way, my dreams, my vision, my selfishness, my laziness, things that lead to corruption and depravity, wickedness. But today the Lord is saying, hey, I'll meet you there for life and renewal. I love that God doesn't judge us. He doesn't say, oh, you're there condemned. How many know that God is not a God in this dispensation that we live in to bring judgment? You don't have to feel like you're dealing with God's judgment. God doesn't judge us now. All He does is extend grace to us now. There will be a time when God's judgment will reach all of creation. And when the Bible says, if your name is not written in the book of life, you will be thrown into the lake of fire. Those will be a time of judgment. But now, God is not a punishing God. He doesn't punish us now. He extends Himself to draw us closer to Him. Perhaps you're here today and you feel like, man, I want a renewal in my life. As we sing this next song, if you feel like the Lord is really ministering to you and you would like prayer, the altar is open. I want to pray with you. Perhaps though you're here, you're visiting us, or maybe you have backslidden. Maybe you're just far from God and you're saying, man, I gotta get back on track. I'm hovering around the valley of dry bones. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you today. Or maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. So you don't know what it is to be marked with the presence of God. You don't know what it is to be filled. To know that your life is in the hands of a saving God. A God that rescues. He gives a joy that the world can never give. A peace that the world can never give. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, God is talking to me right now. I'm going to invite you also as we sing this next song. The altar is open. Would love to pray with you this morning. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.